It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, it's primary day in so many states this morning, and that's what I want to talk about first up. If you are in Indiana, West Virginia, North Carolina, or Ohio, you got to vote today. What's at term? What's at stake? Well, let me just say that the House Democrats and the Democratic machine is intent on impeaching President Trump. So that's one reason why you need to get out and vote, even if you're not excited about the particular candidate that you have to vote for. You have to think about who would make the best candidate, who is the most conservative in that race, might not be a perfect candidate. Those are the choices we make in politics all the time. We have to choose the best candidate. We can't always have the perfect candidate. And a lot of times the person who's perfect on the issues is not electable. So it takes a lot of wisdom to play in this arena. But it's not a game, and it's very important for the nation. And again, could I please emphasize what I always say, but I have to say again, this really, in spite of the monikers, a Republican and Democrat, is not a party game. At least it's not for me. As my understanding, as I have watched what's happening the last several decades, it long ago stopped being some sort of a rivalry between two parties. It is really a rivalry between people who wish to undermine and destroy the country, destroy the Constitution. Literally, they say so. They don't hide it. And people that want to preserve the process and take it back to where it once was. We win this time, you lose. And now we win. Now we up our game and we improve our principles and our candidates. And we win next time. And whoever wins prevails. It isn't like that anymore. The left doesn't care who wins. If they can't subvert through the election process, then they go into corporate America and force, for instance, the gun issue, abortion, gay marriage, whatever, through the corporate structure by punishment or whatever means necessary. So we have a battle between preserving the nation and not preserving it. So that's the lens in which I view this. Most of the people that I support and talk about are Republicans because those seem to be the only ones willing to fight now to preserve the country. But it's not that I don't have criticisms or a great deal of anger, actually, against Republican leadership. And you know that if you listen to me. But I have to talk now about what's going on. I remember that the Democrats need 23 seats to win back the House majority. It's their first agenda to impeach the president if they win it. The Republicans in the Senate are so weak. They have 51-49 edge in the Senate. But that includes John McCain, who's very sick, and they don't expect him back in the Senate. It also includes some really horrible senators, Republicans, who are just horrible, might I add. There are very, very few conservatives in the Senate, and you know that. But that doesn't mean we can't change it. There are a lot of opportunities to change things in this election cycle. But if you don't go out today and vote, or in your primary of your state up and coming, you probably will not have an opportunity. Except on rare occasions where a conservative wins the primary, most of the time it's going to be the hand-picked rhino. So if you want to make a difference, if you listen to me often and we talk about these issues, today's the day you need to get out and vote. Now, let me just hasten to tell you that AFA has a great voter guide, really fine. And you can go on our, I'm going to put it on our Facebook page again today, but if you don't do Facebook, I'll go to AFA Action, afaaction.net, and you can find the voter guide for America. You know, if you forget that, look for American Family Association voter guide. Google that. You can find it and go on and work out who is the most conservative candidate by in terms of who's endorsing them, what their stated positions are on the issues, what their record is. All of those things are factored in. It's really a great tool. Now, let me talk about Ohio just for a second. This is really interesting. Now, this is what you're going to see in a lot of these races. You're hearing, this is not new, but the establishment, meaning the leadership in the Republican Party and the leadership, whether they're officially elected or not, with the Chamber of Commerce, they go in and pour tons of money into races of candidates that they know they can control. That's what the House is filled with, those kinds of candidates. They've been very successful. John Boehner was very successful in Ohio, and then Paul Ryan's been successful too. Kevin McCarthy is actually leading the charge on a lot of these PACs to elect people who are going to do what they ask them to do. They're going to be, you know, doing nothing, basically fill in the blank, nothing, except to try to make sure that they take power and get money for the big money interests. That's kind of what I see happening. And then they talk about being pro-life, but they do nothing about it. So see, that's what we have going on here. So in the state of Ohio, there's an interesting little dust up here. This is, what is this? It's written by Elena Schneider. I don't know what the outlet is. The Star-Telegram. And it's titled, "The GOP Civil War in Ohio Threatens Another Special Election Loss." Now, that's the title, because what the establishment is saying now is, oh, we don't want another Alabama. You know that Roy Moore, he ruined everything. He was a terrible candidate. We told you, you elected him and he lost to a Democrat. Of course, they don't really include the fact that Soros spent millions of dollars down there. So did Mitch McConnell coming and stirring up the pot and destroying the reputation of a very fine man. But that's, you know, that's not really part of it. It was Roy Moore's fault, right, that he lost that election. But that's what they're doing in all of these races. Oh, no, you're going to have another Alabama if you elect that person. Oh, no. So let's go to Ohio and see where that's happening. It's happening in a race where Jim Jordan and Kevin McCarthy are on the different team. Kevin McCarthy is supporting Troy Balderson, who is running to succeed Pat Tiberi. Sorry if I don't have the name pronounced right. Oh, boy. Pat Tiberi was the congressman who sat in that seat and was a real close ally of Kevin McCarthy and the GOP leadership. So they're spending millions of dollars to get Troy Balderson elected, where Jim Jordan, who's right there in that same district, is lining up behind Melanie Linegan. And I'm sorry if I don't know her name pronunciation either, but it looks like Linegan to me. She is describing herself as a Trump Republican, but more importantly, I think that Jordan describes her as a really strong conservative, a true conservative. Of course, the leadership is saying that Linegan is out of step with mainstream Republicans that dominate that district, like Governor Kasich and former Congressman Ty Tiberi. So they say that she has extreme viewpoints. You get the drift? That's what they do all the time. And they're warning that if Melanie Linegan wins, it's going to be another Alabama. You know, you get the drift of it. But Jim Jordan is standing by her. He actually is comparing Linegan to fellow Ohio Republican or Representative Warren Davidson. And this is the guy that was the Tea Party-backed, Club for Growth-backed congressman who won the special election to replace Speaker John Boehner. And he's now part of the House Freedom Caucus, and he's a very strong conservative. So Jim Jordan actually says, I guess you could say Melanie Linegan will actually do what Republicans are supposed to do. Just to give you an idea of the money here, the establishment has spent nearly $500,000 to boost Balderson. And there's just a ton of money going into that, as you can imagine. So Melanie Linegan is the pick of Jim Jordan, and Troy Balderson is the pick of the leadership. Okay, so that's just one race, and I'm going to go on with this because there's a lot more. Of course, in Ohio, there's a race for governor, and it's Mike DeWine versus, you know, and I don't see her name, and I can't remember, but the female, I think she's the attorney general or the secretary. I think she's attorney general. She is a the favorite of conservatives there. And then, of course, we have West Virginia. And in West Virginia, you know, really interesting things are happening because this is, the Republicans want Joe Manchin's seat. He is the Democrat there. He's the only statewide elected Democrat in the state of West Virginia. And, of course, he always acts like he's kind of an all-shucks conservative, but he votes really badly. He always votes, generally, almost always votes with the Democrats. He fought against the repeal of Obamacare every way he could. He voted against the tax cut bill last time. So they'd like to replace, they'd like to take that seat. And now there are three candidates there that are vying for that seat. And let's see. Sorry, I thought I had these names. I've got them right here. Patrick Morrissey is the current attorney general. He is the favorite of Senate conservatives, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. Evan Jenkins is absolutely, no doubt about it, the establishment favorite. He is a Democrat. I mean, really is a Democrat. He voted for, I believe, Obama, at least Hillary, in the last election. He is a Democrat who's turned Republican. That's Evan Jenkins. And then there's Don Blankenship, who is this businessman, coal miner, who spent some time in prison. He says he was put up and set up by the Obama people and the Obama Justice Department. It's a pretty compelling argument. He's surging in the polls right now, Don Blankenship. But once again, everyone's saying, oh, it's going to be another Alabama if he wins. Now, I don't know, and I don't really know anything about Don Blankenship or his record, but I bet the AFA Voter Guide could help you with that. So I do know that Patrick Morrissey is a reliable conservative because of the endorsements that he's gotten. So that's all I can say about that race. And then in Indiana, there is the establishment candidate there, no question about it, is Luke Messer. He has a 58% rating by Conservative Review for his voting. And the favorite for many conservatives are more conservative, but only slightly, because Todd Rokita only has a 65% rating by Conservative Review. So they're duking it out, shall we say. But then enters a self-funded businessman named Mike Braun, who is the favorite of many conservatives. It's a confusing thing because Mike Braun was a registered Democrat up until recently. His defense for that is he says that he was a Democrat, and he was a registered Democrat because he's a businessman, and he voted, the local races were all Democrats, and so he was registered so he could support local candidates. He claims he did not vote in the presidential race for Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, so that's what he says. I don't know. I know that many conservatives I know are supporting Mike Braun, but I don't know. So you should look at our AFA voter guide. And that would help you to kind of make something out of that as well. In the Senate race in Ohio for Sherrod Brown's seat, Sherrod is the sitting Democrat right now. And of course, the Republicans would like to take back that seat. The candidates who are at the top of the heap on that are Jim Renacci, who is an establishment candidate, and then Mike Gibbons is the other candidate who is favored by many conservatives in that race. So that's kind of the way I see that. We have one other person. You know, let's see, is that all the states? That's Indiana, West Virginia, Ohio, North Carolina. I mentioned to you yesterday that I wasn't hearing hardly anything about North Carolina, but then I forgot that Pastor Mark Harris is running for Congress there. And his primary is today. Mark Harris was the head of the marriage amendment effort in North Carolina. He's running against Robert Pettinger. Robert is a sitting congressman, and many people feel that his voting record does not comport well for a truly conservative person. So Mark Harris is challenging him. I have no idea how he's doing. We hope to talk to him this morning, but I'm not sure that's going to work out. But that's the race in North Carolina to keep your eyes on. So there are 17 sitting congressmen who voted for that horrible omnibus, and that's another thing you'd want to check when you're deciding on who to vote for. But please, those of you in Indiana, West Virginia, North Carolina, Ohio, please vote today. Share this information with your friends. Share the voter guide with them and encourage them. Get on the phone, text them, email them. Don't forget to vote today. Today is the primary. You're not going to hear a lot about it on the news because they don't want you to go out and vote, but we do. If we're going to do something about what's happening, we've got to vote. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Did you ever sit down to watch TV with your family only to turn it off because of bad language? TV Guardian is technology that mutes foul language in real time while you're watching television. TV Guardian was born out of the desire to watch a movie with the family without exposing children or adults to coarse or foul language existing in most of today's entertainment. The closed caption feature within all programming is used to look ahead, detect the offensive words, and mute them. Using simple level filters and subfilters, TV Guardian can be used to filter content for your family. Religious references in mainstream programming are often offensive, using God's name in cursing, so TV Guardian offers filtering for those as well. More information is available at tvguardian.com/dish. tvguardian.com/dish.
American Family Radio is grateful for the support of TV Guardian.
Since the day the American Family Association began asking you to sign a petition urging the cancellation of 13 Reasons Why, Netflix has made some changes. They've added disclaimers before episodes and even a link to a suicide prevention hotline number. This is progress, but it's not enough. If you have signed the petition, thank you. If you haven't, please do. Netflix continues to ignore our request for a meeting to discuss the dangers of their show. And they're still going forward with the release of season 2 of this dangerous program. Too many teens have taken their own lives after watching 13 Reasons Why, a program which seems to suggest suicide as a viable option. Your signature and prayers could help convince Netflix to reconsider their social responsibility. Even one more teen suicide would be infinitely too many. Please read and sign the Netflix petition at afa.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TMU. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TMU. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The far left has a dangerous obsession with beheading President Trump. I don't get it. First, there was Kathy Griffin holding a replica of the president's severed head in that video. Now from San Diego comes word of a mural depicting an Aztec warrior spearing the president's bloody head. The mural was painted on a wall owned by a charter school in the community of Chula Vista. I posted a picture on my website, toddstarnes.com. The school district claimed they had no idea the artist was going to attack the president, but their argument doesn't seem to hold much water, seeing how they only removed the artwork after local reporters started asking questions. The mural has indeed been painted over, leading to cries of censorship from the artist, but let's be honest. Do you think for a hot second that school would have let an artist paint a mural of President Obama being decapitated? Yeah, that's what I thought too. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Iran's president issued a stern warning today, saying the U.S. would pay a heavy price if it pulled out of the nuclear deal, adding his voice to a chorus of others.
In this issue, Americans will be the main losers. Loss and failure will be for them in the end. We will continue our path.
Iran has benefited greatly from recent European trade, and today President Rouhani also said Iran would consider staying in, even if the U.S. pulled out. Providing the European Union offers guarantees they could continue benefiting from the accord. This evening, President Trump tweeted, saying he would be announcing his decision tomorrow from the White House at 2 p.m. Washington is divided over the issue, with even top Republicans warning President Trump against walking away from the agreement.
I'm not necessarily opposed to sticking with this deal forever, but you need to have a clear idea about next steps if we are going to pull out.
Today, British Foreign Minister Boris Johnson arrived in D.C. and met with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, lending his support for the deal.
Iran is behaving badly. Iran has a tendency to develop intercontinental ballistic missiles. We've got to stop that. But you've got to do that without just throwing the baby out with the bathwater, without scrapping the whole thing.
Iran's regional activities continue to cause concern. Israeli intelligence now believes Iran plans to attack Israel in retaliation for an April 9th airstrike on an airbase in Syria, the first acknowledged strike by Israel against Iranian targets in Syria. Israel has also detected unusual involvement by Iran's proxy Hezbollah in their preparations for a possible attack across the Syrian border. And today, Hezbollah made significant political gains in Lebanese elections. Their success means Iranian proxies are getting ever more powerful around Israel. According to Hezbollah's leader, the results reflect strong Lebanese support for resistance against Israel.
All right, that was Benjamin Hull from Fox last night, and that was a really good report. And ironically, we want to talk about the Iran deal. What in the world is the president going to do at 2 o'clock this afternoon? Let me just say that Claire Lopez, our good friend, is actually in Israel right now. It's evening for you, right, Claire? And thanks for joining us. I have to say, Claire.
Hi, thank you for having me. And it's the afternoon here, and we are on a bus headed north to the border with Lebanon at the moment.
Wow.
But I'll apologize just in case the signal might become weaker or we might have connection problems. But if we do, that's why we're on a bus and we're moving.
You know, Claire, I had no idea that things, because we've had so much news here, the news about what's going on in Israel has been crowded out, I think, at least for me. And I had no idea that the tensions are so bad right now, honestly. And so you're there at a kind of very crucial time. Can you say what you're doing or what you're seeing?
Yes, I'm on a tour with Tom Trento, the United West team. It is a tour sponsored by a group called Gate One, led by Ronnie Wexler here in Israel. And along with us on the trip today are some other very well-known good friends of ours, including John Guandolo. And Judge Jeanine Pirro from Fox News is with us, too. And we're touring Israel. We were down near the Gaza border yesterday. Today we're headed further north after having stopped in places in Judea and Samaria, including the bustling, modern city, only 40 years old, of Ariel. And now we're headed north towards Caesarea and Haifa and the Lebanese border.
Wow, that sounds like quite a tour. And of course, that you know, I did a national security tour there myself with journalists a few years ago, and it was the best tour of Israel I've ever had. I just, it was. Of course, you have. This is your bailiwick. I have to say that Claire is a former CIA intelligence officer, among other things, so that her expertise far exceeds mine. But that I did have that experience, and it was wonderful. So please say hello to my friends on that bus. But Claire. The Iran deal, the president is supposed to announce today at 2 o'clock. So what do you think? I mean, what is your inclination? Do you think he's going to pull out, or is he going to try to modify it? What do you think he's going to do?
I think the consensus among at least many analysts and observers of Middle East and Iran is that the president very likely will pull out of the deal. He already declined to recertify the deal at the last 90-day deadline date, and now we're up against another date of a deadline, and he must make that decision. Many of us believe that he'll pull out, and with good reason. That deal, the JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, that was reached 3 years ago now, almost 3 years ago, among the P5 plus one, is nothing but, in my estimation, a kabuki dance, theater that is, which is a legitimization by the international community for a glide path of Iran on its overt nuclear weapons program, while not even addressing at all the actual Iranian nuclear weapons program, which is covert, which is hidden away literally under mountains in tunnels and bunkers.
Yeah, it was fascinating to hear Benjamin Netanyahu's presentation of the way they are lying. What? Just last week, I think. Things move so fast.
Yes.
Fastly, she said. Fast. with Iran, Rouhani, you know, is actually bristling and sort of threatening us. And I don't think that comports. That does. I don't know how he thinks that's going to help President Trump decide to stay in the deal. But my hunch too, Claire, without the knowledge that you have, is that President's going to pull out of that thing. But now people here are warning. Many people that you and I might trust or listen to are saying, oh, but he can't pull out without a next step, without some other plan. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, to put this in a little bit of perspective, remember how Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel gave that presentation last week about the seizure by Israeli Mossad agents, I think probably working in close collaboration with the Iranian opposition group, the National Council of Resistance of Iran, and its on-the-ground network, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, seized the archives of the Iranian nuclear weapons program from a kind of a warehouse in Tehran and made off with 100,000 files on both paper and folders and on CD discs. Now, the fact is that seizure of those documents took place in January of 2017, which means that for the last 16 months, they've had these documents, translating them, working with them, deciding, putting in place what those next steps will be. Believe me, Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump, and very likely President Vladimir Putin of Russia as well, with whom Prime Minister Netanyahu speaks often, and I expect that President Trump speaks with him too, have been discussing, I think, in my estimation, what will be those next steps. But here's the point. The seizure alone, and the Iranians know that the documents were seized, seizure alone was bad enough. But when the Jewish enemy, the Prime Minister of Israel, made the announcement publicly in front of the world, that was total humiliation for the Iranian regime. And so naturally, they have to bristle and bluster and posture and threaten retaliation. And the threat from Hezbollah across the northern border with Israel is a very real threat. They're armed with very high-tech, often precision-guided, some people say as many as 150,000 rockets and missiles, much of that provided by Iran. That's a real threat. And so is other kinds of warfare, asymmetric warfare, hybrid warfare, if you will, for example, with drones. But Israel is prepared. Israel is strong, prepared. And remember, they've had 16 months to prepare for what would come once the announcement was made publicly.
Claire, at the same time all of this is happening here and the president's going to make his announcement, now we know that John Kerry, former Secretary of State under Barack Obama, is traveling in Europe and meeting with the Iranians and trying to save this deal. My question is this, that is kind of, you could say that's funny if you have dark humor, but the question is, can he do real damage to this process?
Well, I know that he very much wants to save the deal. A number of our European partners, including others among the P5 plus one, remember that's the permanent five members of the UN Security Council, US, UK, France, China, and Russia, among those, and the plus one, by the way, which is Germany, have a lot of commercial reasons, financial reasons for wanting the deal to continue because that meant that the sanctions came off and they were able to get in on some very lucrative deals. They don't want that to go away. On the other hand, I think that the leadership, certainly of France, we saw that with the visit recently of Emmanuel Macron to the United States and in Washington, D.C., I think they understand the threat of a nuclear-armed Iran and realize that the situation we're in right now is untenable. It cannot go on forever as it is. As Iran moves closer and closer to being able to deploy the nuclear warheads that I believe, at least in my assessment, they are building right now, in places that are off limits to any inspectors because the JCPOA provides no compulsory or obligatory mechanism for forcing Iran to open sites it calls military sites or off limits. So I think even some of those European partners and others realize there's a problem there.
Yeah. All right, Claire, before we let you go, and I do want, because I know you've got things to do there, but I want to ask you about Gina Haspel, because her next appearance before Congress, I think, is tomorrow. And the only objections that are being mentioned on our friendly networks like Fox are that she authorized enhanced interrogation. And the Democrats are apoplectic about that when she was in the CIA during the waterboarding of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others. So that's the big thing they have against her. But I would love to hear from you. A lot of our friends are endorsing her. What are your thoughts about Gina Haspel?
Well, you know, our good friend Brad Johnson, who himself is a former CIA officer, wrote a column very recently that outlined some of the concerns that others have. And those concerns include the fact that she rose in rank up the ranks at the CIA under the administration of Barack Obama as president and of then CIA Director John Brennan. And because she had no problem apparently rising in rank and is now endorsed by Brennan and also former CIA Director Michael Hayden, and I think also perhaps former DNI Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, if I'm not mistaken, all have endorsed her. That seems problematic to me and to others because of some of the issues that the agency was involved in during those years, to include, for example, arming and supporting al-Qaeda in Libya for the overthrow of our ally, Muammar Gaddafi, in 2011, and also the shipment of weapons, including missiles, out of Libya, out of the looted stockpiles from Muammar Gaddafi's rule, to al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood militias and fighters in the Syrian battle space. These seem to be problematic issues for me, and yet she rose in the ranks during the time when those things were going on.
Well, I would also, you know, when we're talking about an election today, because it's a primary in four major states, and one of the things we learn when we're picking candidates, if you don't know a lot of things about what they do stand for, you look at their endorsements. Who stands behind them? Who's endorsing them? Who's putting money behind them? Who's putting their name behind them? And that tells you a lot about a candidate that you might not know. And surely it's the same thing with her. She's being supported by John Brennan, who voted again for the Communist Party candidate in 1980 for president in the United States, who allegedly has led this coup against President Trump. And she's got the support of Michael Hayden and James Clapper, who are also cooperating in that effort. That is concerning. So, Claire, just 3 minutes here. I don't know that there's any senators,
at all, but simply looking at things from the outside, these issues seem.
Uh-oh. All right. I think we lost her. Yeah. All right. But, well, you know what? That was a great connection for a tour bus in Israel. You know, that was just an amazing connection. And she's such a trooper. And such a treasure, really, for us in terms of information. But nevertheless, I think she got the most important thing that needed to be said about Gina Haspel. We are concerned about her. The thing that I really don't know that I was going to ask her is if there are any senators. I think Rand Paul was expressing concern about her, but I don't know for what, probably because of the enhanced interrogation. I don't know if any senator is really putting a stop on this nomination based on what we have just said. And I wish they would, because all we hear on Fox and other places is that because she supported enhanced interrogation and the waterboarding of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other 9/11 criminals, that's a terrible thing. And so for conservatives, it's not a terrible thing. For many of us, it's not a terrible thing. But so you think, well, then she must be tough and good and hard. But now we know she is the hand-picked candidate of John Brennan and Michael Hayden and James Clapper. And trust me, that is not a good thing. So she's going to have her hearing tomorrow in Congress, and we'll see what comes from that. I'm not optimistic that they're going to stop her, because I don't know that anybody is leading with this particular bit of information. All right, more to say when we come back, but there always is. Cindy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. We'll be right back.
have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. England has shown us that single-payer affordable health care translates into kill the patient if it saves the government money. When the government pays for your body's care, the government decides what care your body receives. So when they run the numbers on the cost of saving a life versus the mathematical probability of getting that money back through taxes paid during the lifetime of that patient, and the result is undesirable, kill the child. First Charlie Gard, now Alfie Evans. Who's next? Because the pattern is clear.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Does God exist? Is the Bible true? Does truth exist?
When people say there is no truth, I simply ask them this question. Is that true?
Join us this weekend for Cross Examined with Frank Turek, author of the bestseller, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
I actually think it takes more faith not to believe in the truthfulness of the Bible than it does to believe in the Bible.
Cross Examined with apologist Frank Turek, Saturday morning at 9 Central and Sunday afternoon at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
Women and men alike find themselves in despair after an abortion. Every woman who had an abortion was for a short time a mother, every man a father. But afterwards, they're all people in pain, anger, sadness, relationship problems. These often accompany an abortion. But there is hope. Call 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who has already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump will decide today the fate of the Obama bomb political understanding with Iran. It should be a no-brainer. After all, he recognizes that it's the worst deal ever negotiated. And Israel proved the Iranians used military facilities off-limits to Western inspectors to pursue covertly their nuclear ambitions. Worse yet, even if the mullahs were not cheating on their international obligations, the so-called Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action allows them to retain and, in some cases, upgrade what they need to have a full-scale nuclear weapons enterprise. Still, Mr. Trump is under tremendous pressure, both foreign and domestic, to perpetuate this national security fraud. Fortunately, he knows doing so would be tantamount to surrendering to one of the world's most dangerous regimes, legitimating, empowering, and emboldening it to our great peril. Mr. President, just say no to the fatally flawed Obama bomb deal. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We're signing that horrible deal, and they're marching in the streets saying death to America. I said, who signs a deal when they're marching saying death to America?
In this issue, Americans will be the main losers. Loss and failure will be for them in the end. We will continue our path.
Threatening the president. I don't think that's going to go well for the Iranians. I really don't. Shouting death to America and then threatening the president on backing out of the Iranian deal. It's happening at 2 o'clock today, and I really would be shocked if President Trump does not withdraw from that deal. With John Bolton as his national security advisor, I know exactly how John Bolton feels about that deal. So Let's just see what happens at 2 o'clock. Meanwhile, today, as I've told you, there are primaries in Indiana, West Virginia, North Carolina, and Ohio. And I'm urging, begging, yay, begging you to go out and vote. Even if you're not hearing much about this on the national news, you have to understand that this is really such an important day for those of you in those states and for each of you in other states as these subsequent primaries happen, because I'll be, God willing, I will be bringing them to your attention every time they take place. But the primary really is the only chance, for the most part, for a real conservative to get elected or even have a chance in the general election. So please do not neglect your duty in every way as a Christian and as an American citizen, in this case, a Christian American citizen, to go out and vote if you care what's going to be happening to this country in the next few years. Pastor Mark Harris, by the way, is running in North Carolina. I said to you yesterday when I was covering these races, no one's talking about North Carolina. And then someone reminded me that Mark Harris is happening in North Carolina, and I've asked him to join us this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Sandy. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. We're good. We're blessed, you know, because God is good. And we see his hand
Absolutely.
At work in spite of the bad headlines. So
That's right.
Mark, let me just reintroduce you to people. You were a pastor for most of your life. You were a senior pastor. Then you were the president of the North Carolina Southern Baptist Association, and you have decided to throw. You led the effort on the marriage amendment in North Carolina, and I'm sure you were in the forefront of the bathroom bill issue as well.
Yes.
So now you have chosen to challenge a sitting congressman, Robert Pittenger. Tell us about what that's all about and how the race is going.
Well, Sandy, thank you so much. And on your admonition to folks to get out to vote today, if their primaries in your state, is exactly right, because it is at the primary level where we're going to get true conservative folks to be able to go to November. So many times people are saying, hey, you know, I come to November and I'm choosing between the lesser of two evils. And that's because we don't get out and vote in primaries when we have candidates that can make a difference. I came up 134 votes short of beating Robert Pittenger in a Republican primary last cycle in 2016, and it has been amazing. It was in a three-man race at that particular time with three very strong candidates, and this time it is somewhat much more a head-to-head matchup with me and Mr. Pittenger, and it's going very, very well. We feel like that we're the true conservative in this race. We want to see the president's agenda move forward. We stand with the very principles that he is standing on. And Mr. Pittenger, when you look at his record, based on conservative review, gets a 51%, which is an F, over his time in serving in the U.S. House of Representatives. So we just feel like that this is an opportunity to stand for the values and the principles that we hold dear. And we feel very positive. Early voting seems to be trending our way. We just came through 2 weeks of that and 2 days, 2 weeks and 2 days here in North Carolina of that. And today is election day, and we're about 2.5 hours into this election day. And we're excited about the potential possibilities.
All right, let me ask you, I know that you're out of Charlotte, but your district is which number and covers where in North Carolina?
It is the 9th Congressional District, and it is the eastern and southern part of Mecklenburg County, which is where Charlotte is located, and then it goes due east. It is all of Union County, all of Anson County, all of Richmond County, Scotland County, Robeson County, about two-thirds of Bladen County, and about a fourth of Cumberland County. So it goes basically from Charlotte all the way to Fayetteville, North Carolina. So it's a long district down Highway 74.
All right, let me just remind people listening that we have American Family Association has a great voter guide. It's afa.net, yes. afaaction.net. You can find it there, and you can compare the candidates' records and decide who you need to vote for or based on that. I mean, if that's important to you, make a decision today on who to vote for. That guide will help you through these races. Mark, I'm curious about something. My favorite group of guys in Congress are the Freedom Caucus. And
absolutely.
I'm so, God bless them. They're just doing, there's so few of them. They remind me of David's Mighty Men. My question for you is, I guess you're kind of answering it with your comments, but the Freedom Caucus, how do you feel about them, and will you be joining them?
I'm a strong advocate of the Freedom Caucus, and upon their invitation, would gladly be a part of that. Congressman Mark Meadows has certainly been an encourager of mine in this race from the beginning. I got a call yesterday morning of encouragement from Representative Jim Jordan, saying that they were watching our race carefully and hope to be calling me back again tonight with congratulations. I believe they are the folks that understand the fiscal responsibility that goes with serving in the United States House of Representatives and stands on the principles and the values. And by all means, I'm a big fan of what they're doing.
Is your district safely Republican, or is there any is it shaken up like so much in North Carolina so that you can't be certain about November?
Well, it is an R plus 7, so it should be a Republican district. Now, with that said, the incumbent Robert Pittenger, besides his much more moderate liberal-leaning Republican record and the 51% with conservative review, he's had a lot of personal issues that bring a lot of baggage, some statements that he's made that have been brought out and things that are just going to be baggage. I don't know any other way to put it. And because of that, the Democrats have targeted this district, and they have found a young man that is going to be running, is running today in the Democratic primary. He's raised nearly $1.8 million so far. A lot of that money has come through a group called Act Blue out of Massachusetts. They seem to be taking a page right out of the playbook of Connor Lamb and what happened in Pennsylvania. So they are going to mount a major challenge here in this district. But we believe that standing on these conservative principles, this district that Donald Trump won, and having a candidate that truly does not bring the baggage of all these things to the table, I think we're going to be able to win in November, and I think we'll win strong.
Okay, well, this is Pastor Mark Harris. He's running in the 9th Congressional District in North Carolina, so that's certainly a race to watch today. And please, those of you listening, please pass the information about the AFA Voter Guide to your friends in Indiana, West Virginia, North Carolina, and Ohio. Get on the phone, email them, tweet, whatever it is that you do to communicate with your friends, Instagram, and ask them, beg them to go and vote and inform them about the things that you have learned that would help them to make a good decision. Mark, we really wish you the best, and we'll be anxious to hear what happens today. Today's the day. So, yes, God.
Thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, God bless you, Mark. And we'll talk to you soon. Okay, thanks. Bye bye.
Okay.
All right. Well, this is interesting, isn't it? You know, if you look across the landscape of the country, so many states are actually run by conservative legislatures. In fact, the overwhelming majority. And by conservative governors. It's pretty amazing, actually. And I think that that's probably, I know, that's a huge part of why this country has not tanked worse than it has, is because we have local people who are working hard to do the right thing. You know, I think that even when I was growing up, Christians were not involved in the political scene as much as they are now. Because it was kind of, if you were a serious Christian, you spent your time at church, you were on boards, you were doing missions, you were doing whatever, which are all important things. You were teaching Bible study, you were going to Bible study, and you didn't get involved with that icky civic stuff. But, you know, the times have changed in the sense that as we see the moral lapse in the country and these things becoming political issues upon which you could actually have some effect, that's changed the importance. This is kind of like, this is a preservation. If there were ever a mandate to be salt and light in a culture, look, the Roman Christians had no choice. The Christians of the early church, they didn't have a say. They did not have a vote. Now, they would never have substituted a vote for the passion and preaching and all the things that they did. But don't you think if they had had a chance to protect their children in public schools, they would have done that? I think so. And so I'm just asking you to take this seriously today and go out and vote. Now, there's a lot of other news. So let's see. I have a lot of things. What shall I spend the time telling you about? This I have to say. Remember, we've been talking about Scott Pruitt, who's been really under fire. He's the head of the EPA. All of this really terrible stuff about him coming out about, well, terrible. I guess it's all relative. It's about giving bonuses to raises to staffers, traveling with a lot of security, and other things like that. Well, this, all these complaints, I know as I've talked to you about it, I've said to you, I don't really know about that. I can't really defend that. I don't know anything about it. I just know that Scott Pruitt has been hated by the left since before he ever took that position, and he's been their target. Well, now we find out that these complaints all came from a letter by a guy who's calls himself a whistleblower, Kevin Chmielewski, who wrote a letter to the president enumerating, laying out these alleged problems with Scott Pruitt. Now we find out that Chmielewski himself has a very bad record. Law enforcement have found, background checks have seen that he's had lots of run-ins with law enforcement, lots of red flags. He lied about his Coast Guard service. He said he served 4 years. He only served less than a year. And military experts are saying now, who've reviewed this information, that he likely let's just say it's very controversial. He was probably asked to leave, and they can't find his records on that because he served less than a year. He complained to the president about all these raises that happened to people under Scott Pruitt, while he himself received $24,000 in raises after just 3 or 4 months of service, which was an increase of 20% in his salary. He actually was complicit with all of that. We don't know if Scott Pruitt was responsible for that. I guess he's responsible because it's under his watch, but we don't know that Scott Pruitt said, I'd like to, give bonuses to all of my people. We don't know that. We just know that raises were given, and Chmielewski was one of them. We also know that many of the people who sit in these agencies are not appointees by President Trump. Have I said that often enough? The people that are serving, and most of these agencies, most of the people, I would say 90% of them, are still Barack Obama appointees. And so you don't know what they are doing a lot of nonsense in every agency. So this attack against Scott Pruitt, I'm not surprised, comes from someone who is seems to have, well, let's just say his own record is really, really bad. Now, whether he has an agenda about Scott Pruitt, that part I didn't get down to, but there are some interesting articles about it from the Free Beacon today. This Judge Ellis that took Robert Mueller to task Friday has a really interesting past. Just reading from the Daily Caller that he's 68. He's an immigrant born in Bogota, Colombia. And he recently swore in a group of immigrants who were being naturalized in a ceremony. And this is what he said. "This is a truly wonderful day," said Ellis, his voice cracking as he gave an emotional tribute to the virtues of citizenship, U.S. history, and the warriors buried around him. He told a woman from Iraq that he was honored that you chose to be an American. He choked up as he hugged each new citizen wearing his U.S. Navy uniform. That's Judge T.S. Ellis, who is now really taking a hard line against Robert Mueller in the courtroom case against Manafort, calling them to account and demanding that he sees the unredacted version of this mandate by Rod Rosenstein, which is what the House Freedom Caucus is demanding as well, which is what Rosenstein said. He will not be intimidated by this. It's just an amazing story, but we've got some good men in place. And that gives me reason to be encouraged. The editorial board of the Wall Street Journal just wrote an article called "The Mystery of Michael Flynn's Guilty Plea," which is a whole other story I'd like to get into. We'll put that article on our Facebook page. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.